Welcome, everybody, and thanks for being with me in this next hour. You are listening to A Course in Miracles with CA on 1-2 Radio, where hopefully we are changing the way we experience life and spirituality. And my guest today, boy, I'm tongue-tied. My guest today is Susan Dugan, A Course in Miracles teacher and the author of multiple articles and books based on forgiveness and living A Course in Miracles. And the basis of our discussion today, suggested by Susan, is the ACIM workbook lesson 185, I Want the Peace of God. So if you want to pull that off your shelves so that you're, you know, reading along with us, that would be great. You certainly don't need to. You know, everything is very holistic and in some ways, I think, just perfect. So if you're just sitting there with your coffee, your tea, your lunch, whatever, and you're just listening to us, that's wonderful too. But we are going to look at workbook lesson 185. So Susan, thank you so much for agreeing to be on the show again today.
Oh, it's great to be here. It's been a while.
Yeah, when I realize I'm probably a little tongue-tied because I'm sitting here drinking ice water. And you know how sometimes ice water just kind of freezes up your mouth?
Yes, and brain freeze and all that.
But you know what? It's just, that's it. It's just like I'm really adapting to a different climate. And, you know, yeah. It's just so hot. I feel like that's all I do is drink water all day long.
Well, it's been the kind of summer that it feels like we're all adapting to a different climate
yes.
every couple of weeks.
Yeah, it really does. In fact, I was just shocked, I guess I'd say, when I was listening to the news, a week or two ago, and Seattle and Portland and that coast of Canada, they were like 118 degrees in Canada.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
And I was like, what? And Seattle and Portland? And I don't even remember the other city. I was like, what the heck? Because that seems to me to what I consider reliably cool, moderate weather.
Right. No, my daughter is in Seattle and they had summer and roads were buckling and, you know, people are dying. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what did she say about it?
They did fine because they do have an air conditioner, that they were sort of huddled in the main floor, you know, there. So, it was very challenging for most people there because it's they're not used to it. Well, those are completely record off the charts temperatures. So,
right.
They've had, you know, some heat in recent years, but nothing like that. So,
yeah. Well, and just what you said, you know, I think about the way houses are constructed or buildings, et cetera. And, you know, in that part of the country, they're not really constructed for those kind of temperatures.
No, they're not. And that's exactly right. So very challenging, you know, and certainly not the peace of God, right?
Right. Or at least it wouldn't seem to be, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so many forgiveness lessons. So do you want to just kind of dive into this particular workbook lesson? And if you want to say something ahead of time, like why this was on your mind or why you wanted to talk about it, that's fine too. Okay, go for it.
And also I wanted to mention that these last lesson 181 through lesson 200 are kind of the grand crescendo of the workbook lessons. There's these, you know, they're really actually, I think, some of the most powerful lessons in the workbook. And this lesson in particular, I Want the Peace of God, is a foreshadowing of the final lesson in that 19 lessons, mm-hmm. Which is lesson 200, There Is No Peace Except the Peace of God. And so that's where the kind of the workbook actually kind of leaves us with that message, the first part of the workbook, which is all about the undoing of the ego. It kind of leaves us with that final message that, you know, we won't find peace in this world, we won't find it in a relationship, we won't find it in our bodies, we won't find it, anywhere here in the dream. Mm-hmm. Because the dream was made up, this reality was made up to prove that, you know, peace is now unattainable because of what we believe we did to God, which is separated from God, and now we have this belief that's mistaken, but that we deserve punishment for it. And
right.
So we're all walking around with this sort of excruciating inner sense of guilt that we don't really know where it's coming from, but we're constantly trying to get rid of it by positioning ourselves relative to others as the less guilty ones, right?
Yeah.
So this lesson, the reason that I was drawn to it was just, again, really, you know, I'll have to tell on myself, just noticing in myself how deeply still, you know, after all the, after teaching this course and practicing it for quite a few years, and being really dedicated to it, you know, I still find myself in special, certain special relationships, especially, you know, being really wanting at times, not all the time, you know, I certainly am right-minded at times, but at times really wanting to be right, you know, really wanting to have the, what I perceive as attacks and unfair treatments, to hold on to those and to make those the cause of why I'm feeling so upset. And I would rather hold on to that than open to the peace of God, than you know, open to Jesus's Holy Spirit's message that no one is guilty here. So I would rather, you know, be included in the "you're guilty and I'm guilty" than believe that we're both not guilty. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So we really are very deeply attracted to that guilt. It's guilt that keeps the story of me going. And what would we be without our stories of unfair treatment? You know, we're deeply invested in them at a level that we really, most of the time, are not in touch with at all. The Course's practice of forgiveness is getting us more and more in touch with how, you know, with that. A lesson like this, "I want the peace of God," is really getting us to look at how much of the time we don't want the peace of God. Mm-hmm. Because the peace of God includes everyone in its innocent embrace. And that's not how we see it.
Right.
We see victims and victimizers, right? And we are very, you know, usually it's we're identified with the victims, and in our own lives we feel victimized pretty much, you know, constantly.
Right. Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. So I think that's why I wanted to revisit this lesson, was really because I feel that I still have a lot of learning and undoing to do
mm-hmm.
around this, and it's very humbling when we, you know, we see that and we confront it and we look at it with Jesus. And that's really what the Course is asking us to do. You know,
right.
Let's look at what you really want here and how is it serving you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and what I call this lesson sometimes, which there are many lessons in the workbook that would qualify, but it's the win-win lesson, meaning when are you going to get it? It's about shared interests.
Right.
When can you really start buying into win-win versus there has to be a winner and a loser?
Right.
And everywhere I look, it's about winning and losing.
Right.
And how many times can I come out on top? How many
right.
times can I be the winner? But this is about win-win. How long will it take you to buy into that?
Right.
You know, the other thing, and this is more on a personal level, but I've really noticed, and I've even been saying to people recently about A Course in Miracles, I really am at a point where it's like, I really want to get this because the pain has become
yes.
too much.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's it. It's like several things have happened, and the minute I stop and just say, okay, Jesus, I need another way to look at this, it's like I'm doing it out of sheer, I can't take this pain anymore.
Right.
I don't know how much longer I can do this. And so how do I escape the pain? And yet maybe that is the only way. It's not because somebody, in fact, he's probably listening today and he'll say, I asked her that question. He was talking about something about having a passion for, you know, A Course in Miracles. And I said, I'm not even sure it's a passion for The Course in Miracles or for getting it. It's I want to avoid the pain.
Right.
And I think this is the way to do it. I think this is the path of the undoing.
Yes, it is. And it's really, you know, as you know, trying to practice this as we begin to see how invested in this we are, that's the painful part. You know, I'm choosing this and I can't let it go, you know, by myself, you know, because I am identified as a body, as a personal self, and there's no shared interest between bodies. You know, the whole thing is a setup of the mind, of the decision-making mind, the whole ego thought, when it's chosen the ego thought system of the belief in separation, the whole strategy of that is the thought system of one or the other. So it's always me versus another person, another, you know, or another group, right? If we're thinking collectively. And it's always about, and we're wildly and, you know, just ridiculously invested in the competition for a sense of less guilt, right? Because there's no real full innocence that we could even entertain once we've believed that separation from God is real. But we want to be the less guilty one in every situation that we're in.
Yes.
And our needs. And then the other, you know, need of the ego is to try to fill that lack that we feel from, and you know, so we're always trying to somehow play a game with our, in our special relationships to get our needs met. And of course they're never met because they're not, you know, there's nothing out there to, and there is no real lack, and there's nothing really outside me to fill it with. You know, the love of God is within us, but we're afraid of it. We won't approach it.
Well, and just what you said, that's the other thing this lesson really brings up, is how we bargain. We bargain with other people, meet my needs and I'll meet yours. Our relationships are so incredibly conditional.
Yes, yes. And we're so, you know, when we feel that someone in that we're, you know, that we're close to and have been in relationship, a special, what the Course calls special relationships, you know, and when the bargaining that we do or the agreements that we've made are broken or not met, you know, when the needs are not met that we, as we see them, or when we're criticized or attacked, or you know, the other person is lashing out at us for their own, you know, from their own same neediness that I have, right? The same ego thought system is in all minds.
Yes.
And, we all have that same equipment. We all have the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the right mind. And we're all part of the decision-making mind. So the same, you know, whoever we perceive as the victimizer at any given time is just like me in terms of, you know, maybe not the way they're acting out from, and, you know, but for the reason that they're acting out is the same.
Yes.
And we refuse to see that, you know, we really feel that their way of acting out is intolerable, you know, and that I would never, we always differentiate ourselves in our minds as the less guilty one and the one that's right.
Yes.
You know? So,
like I said, for me personally, that has become so painful.
It's so painful.
Because what I'm seeing is the consequences of the hurt that causes in me and other people and all over the place. You know, it's just like, oh my gosh, is that really who I am?
Right. And you know, even once we see that sometimes, as we know, you know, we can still hold on to it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like I was saying at the beginning, there's, you know, I'd rather suffer. You know, the Course says our tolerance for pain is very high, but it's not inexhaustible. That's not a direct quote, but it's a paraphrasing, right?
Yes, and I'm so glad that that's true.
Yeah, yeah. So, but you know, we keep going back to, we keep tolerating a lot of pain, even when we've recognized it and say, this is so painful, I don't want to do this anymore, there has to be a better way. You know, we keep going back to that. What brought us to the Course originally was some awareness that our way wasn't working and that it was painful.
Mm-hmm.
And the practice of the Course itself gets us way more in touch in a very visceral way with that pain and with our and with the content of our thoughts and our feelings, which are very judgmental and very hateful to ourselves and others. And yet we just, you know, again, we're so invested in having, you know, being the less guilty one in any relationship. And it's painful. it's hurting us, you know, and it takes a lot. We finally get to a point where we do say, I must be wrong about this. I'm open to your answer, right? To the alternative. Mm-hmm. And that's when Jesus can really work with us. That's when he can, you know, we can look at him and he can show us, okay, this is just a projection, a reflection of the judgment of what you think about yourself. You know, the hatred, the self-hatred that you're harboring over the belief that you separated from God, but it's just a mistake. It never happened.
Right.
So look at this with me, and you'll see that no one's guilty here, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and what I've been experiencing recently is a sense of remembering that it's an illusion, but going, my illusion is so much better than your illusion, Susan.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I mean, I stop myself and go, really? Is that the argument that you're going with? Is that you know that yours is an illusion, but yours is better than theirs? Don't you remember there is no hierarchy of illusions?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I do. I have to just laugh at myself and go, really? Are you going to argue about something that you readily, right in this moment, acknowledge is an illusion?
Right, exactly.
And you're going to alienate this person. You're going to hurt this person. You're going to do something that doesn't even feel good to you. And you're going to do it over something that in 60 seconds you are willing to admit is an illusion.
Right, right. And the answer is yes.
I am going to do it, right.
But I think that's, you know, we are, as you said, we're really seeing the pain of this. And that's our resistance that we're up against. That's our, you know, the hidden resistance to love that the Course talks about. We're just, you know, it's coming from fear. So it doesn't really help in practice to beat ourselves up about it at all. There's nothing, you know, that just makes the guilt more real. That's another way to punish ourselves and you know, which is a reflection of the belief that God wants to punish us, that it's all real. So, you know, but we have to just be, when we catch ourselves doing this and we're still feeling, I mean, that's what I was noticing in myself again, was just, even though I know this is really hurting me, it's awful, and I know that this way lies madness, I can't seem to let it go because it seems, the illusion seems so real that the unfair treatment of the other person seems so
righteous.
You know, yeah, right, yeah, just
deserving,
just so over the top, like just, you know, evil.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but again, that can't be real. You know, the only thing that it doesn't mean, again, that we don't, you know, that we don't do things in form. And the Course isn't saying that. It isn't, you know, bodies can do terrible things to each other. And the Course isn't saying don't defend your body or don't take the steps necessary to, you know, that normal people would in a bad situation. But it is saying that at the level of the mind, we have to open to the truth of what's really going on, that we are the same. And that the person's ego attack is coming from the same place that my ego attacks come from. And, you know, and again, that they may be acting out in a way that I find intolerable, but it's coming from the same pain that I know very well, you know. And so in that way, I can, you know, as I begin to see that, then I can come from the peaceful equality of the right mind with Jesus above the battleground and see that it's my call for love disguised in another person. It's because it's really the same.
Yes.
And we have the same, you know, we're both calling for love. And there's no way out with the one or the other. You know, there's no love there for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Or innocence.
Yeah. So once again, you've got to look for the shared interest, the win-win situation.
Absolutely.
Even though it's not pertinent in the illusion, you got to just keep going there. You've got to just keep saying, where's the shared interest? Even if you're not quite sure what that is. Just being, I guess, on that side of, I really think I can win if I punish somebody else? Do I really think I can win if I make somebody else lose?
Right, exactly.
Because it's just a matter of time before I'm going to be the loser.
Right. And we really are a loser if we're in that... We're digging in our heels in the dream and trying to make the, you know, the find equality in the dream, right? Mm-hmm. that will never work. The dream was set up, you know, to
fail.
To fail. That's right. Yeah. But to keep us seeking and never finding, you know, to keep just enough of a propaganda of hope that we keep digging our heels in, you know, and burrowing deeper in the dream to try to find it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, yeah. And I was going to say, that's one of the things that I think is, it's certainly impossible to explain to somebody else, but it's also sometimes hard to understand. I want to believe all the good things that happen somehow are not part of the dream, whereas the negative ones are part of the dream.
Right.
And whether it's something that brings you pleasure or pain, it's right. still part of the dream.
That's right. It's still a cover for the belief in separation.
Yes.
It still reflects the idea of one or the other. You know, some mm-hmm. are rewarded, some are punished.
Yes.
And so, exactly. And so, you know, that lesson five, I'm not upset for the reason I think, you can also say, I'm not happy for the reason I think.
Yeah.
Everything is a choice that the mind is making. It has nothing to do with the dream. We are giving our dream and what happens in our dream all the meaning that it has for us.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And special love and pleasure. The Course isn't saying that we shouldn't, you know, have pleasures in the world, but it is saying that they won't bring you the peace of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and it's funny that you'd say that because somebody just recently said to me, we were kind of arguing back and forth about something. I mean, it wasn't a serious argument. In fact, it was kind of a group discussion. And somebody was saying something that was not being really in agreement with the rest of the people. And so she finally just said, well, if I believe it, it's true for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of stopped and I said, yeah, that's actually very true.
Right.
Because it's,
yes, within the dream.
You know, yeah, and I didn't go there with A Course in Miracles because they wouldn't have understood it. But it's like she was really voicing the truth. For
yes.
her, in her dream, she has constructed it in such a way that that thing is true. And
yes.
I thought, yeah, it really is.
And truth is, I mean, that's the first law of chaos, right? That
yes.
it's different for everyone.
Right.
So,
that if yeah. I believe it, then it's true for me. And it's like, okay, so I said, yeah, okay. And I
right.
just let that one sit.
Right.
You know, whereas everybody else, I mean, and I'm not, once again, I'm not trying to make them bad, but they all want to argue and go, that can't be true, that it's true for you and not, you know. And I'm just like, no, I think it actually is, guys. And there is something about that. You know, if I believe eating a certain food is going to be bad for me, I'm probably
sure.
going to have a result from it.
Yep.
And somebody
yep.
else could eat 10 times the amount and go, doesn't bother me, you know,
right.
or
but,
whatever.
You know, as Ken used to say, if you put a box around the whole ego thought system, within the box, you know, there's logic within it.
Yes.
But it's still insane and the whole thing is untrue.
Yes. You know, I love that. And, you know, I've never heard Ken say that.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what workshop that comes from, but there might even be a little YouTube
video on it.
Section of that. But, yes.
Okay,
yeah.
So say it again. So if you put a whole box
around
the ego thought system.
Right. That it's logic, and I'm paraphrasing this.
Yes.
Exactly his words. But that everything within the ego thought system, you know, is logical within it, right? That's the 2 + 2 = 4 world.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing is, but the whole box, everything, you know, in that box is also not true.
Right.
Right?
It's crazy. It's insanity.
It's insanity. That's right. And it's literally not there. It's nothing. You know, but it has a very coherent logic within the ego thought system, once which is based on the foundation is based on the idea of separation and,
right.
and the defenses that we needed to defend that idea, really,
mm-hmm.
and keep it going. You know, guilt is real. The sin against God was real. It had real effects. There is a God that noticed this, that's after us and wants to punish us. And our only way out is to position ourselves as the less guilty ones with others and to try to get our needs met in a dream. Of you know, of as fugitives from love, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, personally, it so appeals to me, I guess on a brain level, not the mind level, but the brain, because there are, I mean, one of the things I studied in college, which I just so liked, was logic, mm-hmm. and as a philosophy. And logic as a philosophy, it so appeals when everything lines up. But as if you've ever studied it, what you realize is the basic premise, if it's wrong, then it doesn't matter how logical the statement is. It's logical. It's just not right.
That's right.
And right. See, that always was intriguing to me. It was almost like playing a little game.
Mm-hmm.
And we forget that. We think if something's logical, even in an argument, if it's logical,
right.
it's got to be right. But it's not if the foundation is totally wrong.
Right. It's fiction. And so, you know, as a fiction writer,
yeah.
you know, you're always doing, in your stories that you write, you're kind of doing world building, and especially people that write fantasy or science fiction or those kinds of things. But really, all fiction writers are building a world. It's not real.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and within that world, you want everything will add up, you know, needs to add up with,
right.
you know, what who the enemies are, who the people are, what's happening to them, what motivates them, you know, all of that is made up. But everything is a fictional world, you know, the
mm-hmm.
whole, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and it's logical, but it's still not real. It's
right.
Still, yeah.
I love that box. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you, Kim.
Well really, because I had never heard that said quite that way. Now, of course, I'll probably find the workshop that it came out of. But
yeah,
because, in fact, I'm looking for a new workshop to use on the show. So if you have any suggestions,
okay.
let me know.
I'm listening to a great Academy class right now that I haven't listened to in quite some time. And it's called the, I hope I have this right, the nothingness of something. I don't know, something like that.
The nothingness of something?
Nothingness of something.
Or the something of nothingness?
Really, yeah, it's basically the idea of, you know, the ego making this huge something out of nothing, you know, which is
okay.
our entire world, right?
Okay, and that's something that I could download from the Foundation for A Course in Miracles?
You can purchase.
I'll look for it.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Yeah, purchase it. That's
but
what
it's
I'm
a
talking
long,
about.
You know, it's a long class, but it's excellent, and it's really has a lot of great questions. You know, some of his questions and answers with people really are priceless.
Oh, good. Well, you know what? Yeah. Thank you for that.
Sure.
Because there's nothing better than discovering something new on that site.
And I'll check the title of that and make sure I'm giving you the right title so you can find it.
So I can find it. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, because believe it or not, to the audience, there are so many workshops and academy
yeah.
classes and recordings on the foundation site that they have an alphabetical listing. But sometimes I think I know the name and I go through title after title after title until I
right.
find it. And it is like a maze because then I go, oh, I haven't listened to that one. So then I will write that down going, go back to that one. What about this one? And so then by the
yeah.
time I'm finished, I go, what title was I looking for again? You know, but
yeah.
it's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, it's the Course in Miracles kind of toyland or playland or something because
there's
so many good things.
Yeah, and there's still so many recorded workshops that he's done that were not, haven't been edited and released. So that, you know, they still are releasing ones that just, and there's a huge archive of those that I know the foundation is working on all the time.
Oh, you know what? So, that's wonderful. Because in fact, Toy Story, which is the one we just listened to on the show, it was just released in June.
Yeah, yeah. There you
yeah.
Well, I haven't even looked at that one because I've been kind of swept away by events in my life. But yeah, I really want to, I need to look at that too.
It's very good. It
I'm sure
is very
it is.
Good, Susan.
I'm sure it
yeah.
is. So should we read a little bit
yes,
of that?
Yes, absolutely. Do you want to start at the beginning or
yes.
choose?
Yes,
okay, go ahead.
It's important, that first paragraph.
Okay.
And the first two paragraphs actually are very, very important. So so it's lesson 185, I want the peace of God. To say these words is nothing, but to mean these words is everything. If you could but mean them for just an instant, there would be no further sorrow possible for you in any form, in any place or time. So if we could mean them for an instant and completely, that would be all we wanted. And even that is pretty impossible for us, except when we're finally at the end of the journey, at the top of the ladder, right? And all
mm-hmm.
the guilt is undone.
But, you know, I highlighted that in my digital version because, once again, you know how something just feels palpable to you? Mm-hmm. There would be no further sorrow possible right. in any form, in any place or time. Right. And it goes back to that, can you imagine what this right. feels like?
Right. Yep. So he says, heaven would be completely given back to full awareness. So what I am, you know, that I am still, you know, being held and cradled in God's love, the one child of God, right? A oneness joined as one. Memory of God entirely restored, the resurrection of all creation fully recognized. We would remember where we are, what we are, and you know, we would be in touch again with that completely innocent, abstract union with eternal oneness, with you know, our Creator. That, mm-hmm. that we are still in truth, but we completely have dissociated from.
Yes. And what's also wonderful about that second line, heaven would be completely given back to full awareness, is it's that statement and affirmation that, you know what? We're not looking for something outside of ourselves. We're right. not on the journey seeking to yep. find something. That it's like, it's just a matter of remembering.
Yeah.
And wow, I mean, what a relief. Yeah, your memory will be restored.
Right.
Wow, I mean, that is just so incredibly powerful, I think. And true to A Course in Miracles, you know, like, you don't bring light to illusion, you bring the illusions to the light. This is such an important concept. You're not seeking heaven. It's not out there.
No.
And it's a matter of remembering. It's a matter of clearing the clutter, getting back to that right. place of full awareness. And wow, I just think that's a powerful concept.
Yes, yeah, and very, I mean, encouraging, and yet it seems so elusive to us.
Yes.
You know, because we, I mean, you know, the power of our imagination to picture ourselves elsewhere and estranged from God is, you know, very, very strong, obviously, because it, you know, we have blocked out the awareness of love's presence, and it seems unattainable to us most of the time.
Right. Okay, I'll continue with the second yep. paragraph. No one can mean these words and not be healed. He cannot play with dreams, nor think he is himself a dream. He cannot make a hell and think it real. He wants the peace of God, and it is given him. For that is all he wants, and that is all he will receive. Many have said these words, but few indeed have meant them. You have but to look upon the world you see around you to be sure how very few there are. The world would be completely changed should any two agree these words express the only thing they want.
So I love the, for that is all he wants, and that is all he will receive. There's the problem right there.
Mm-hmm.
Where our mind is split.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're completely ambivalent about it. A part of us does want the peace of God, and as we've talked about earlier, it's so painful what we're doing. It's so chaotic and turbulent and you know, just despairing at times to try to navigate this ever-changing world, right? This roller coaster mm-hmm. of a world. And yet, you know, we're terribly afraid of it. We're
yes.
so ambivalent. You know, we're totally afraid of it. We don't trust it. We don't remember it, that there's any, you know, anything beyond this. And we're driven to protect the only identity that we know, which is this personal self.
Yes. Right. Yes. Which also, I, you know, I hope I'm not kind of jumping here, but because this comes into the next paragraph as well. But, and I won't say I came up on my with it on my own, but it was what I had read that Ken had written about
yes.
this lesson, when he talks about how easy it is to not understand that line about should any two agree these
yes.
words express the only thing they want, that it happens. And then he goes on in the next paragraph, or, you know, the course does, two minds with one intent become so strong that what they will becomes the will of God, for minds can only join in truth. But as Ken kind of, you know, I can even see him, you know, kind of going, mm-hmm. okay, stop this, stop the show right here. Let's stop the tape and let's look at this, and saying, you know what? You're not in a relationship with anybody really except yourself or with the Holy Spirit. This is not indicating that Susan Dugan and C.A. Brooks can decide they want peace and the whole world will be changed.
There's no joining between bodies.
No,
exactly. There's no between bodies. So two minds always means my decision-making mind choosing Jesus, Holy Spirit. That's the other mind we're talking about. That's
right.
That's what makes a relationship, brings a relationship, changes its purpose from a special relationship to a holy relationship.
Yes.
It's not about the other person.
But I can understand why that's confusing, because that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Like I go, Susan, you and me, let's join right now and let's figure this out. And, you know, but Ken, like I said, I can almost see him going, okay, guys, stop it. Stop right now and listen to this. That is not the relationship we're talking about. This is about you joining with the Holy Spirit.
Right, but it, you know, the course, so it's always only about my mind in need of healing, but the classroom, the context in which we practice is our relationships.
Yes.
And so that, you know, Ken also often said that the course has, wherever you are in your spiritual journey, the course has something for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so when, you know, when we first come to the course, and maybe that's all someone gets out of it, but it would be, you know, they would be looking at it much like on the Song of Prayer at the lower rungs of the ladder. You know, they would be looking at it as two minds in a relationship,
mm-hmm.
but the journey of the course is, you know, if you stick with it, is teaching you again that it's really not about, it's always my mind in need of healing, that there really in truth is no one out there, and that that's just a reflection of my own self-hatred that I need to bring to Jesus to look at, right?
Yes. Well, and, another really important point that we, in a sense, in our minds, the minute we believed in separation, we fragmented everything into billions of pieces.
Right.
And now we see all those fragments, whether, you know, it's the weather, it's a person, it's a building, it's an event, it's whatever. All those billions of fragments are just part of our idea of what the separation meant.
Right, exactly. And but we're really all those fragments are really all parts of the same decision-making mind.
Yes.
Having their own little seeming individual dream. But all the dreams, so the dreams are very different, but the content of the dreams is all the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I exist at God's expense, but it's not my fault. I am the victim of the world I see.
Yes.
And that's the dreamers. That's the overriding experience of every dreamer.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Well, and it's funny that you even mentioned, it's kind of off the topic, but, you know, I moved a couple of months ago. And I always feel like I always dream a lot. But since I've moved, I'm just having these unbelievable dreams. I mean, I wake up almost every morning going, where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
Because, and once again, the content, I guess, you know, you could easily identify the content. Okay, that's worry, or that's fear, or that's you're concerned about whatever. But it's kind of like I'm almost in awe of the creativity of my brain. Because mm-hmm. I'm going, where did that come from? How did you make that up? I mean, it's like I really can't relate it to anything. Like sometimes when I dream, I really do relate it to like a TV show that I saw or something.
Right.
But some of this stuff is just like, oh my gosh, where am I going at night? You know, where the heck am I going? These dreams are totally insane. And maybe that's their purpose, is to go, well, you know what? All your dreams are insane, whether you're awake or not.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. Yep. And they're all, you know, they're all wildly creative.
Yeah.
Really ways to punish ourselves, right?
Yeah, maybe I ought to be a fiction writer.
Yeah, I think we're all fiction writers.
Yes.
Yes, so so let's see where we would, maybe we should skip to paragraph 5.
Okay, now is that the one to mean?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to read it?
Sure. To mean you want the peace of God is to renounce all dreams, right? To see them all as the same. They're all equally unreal. For no one means these words who wants illusions, and who therefore seeks the means which bring illusions, which is projection, right? Right? The means that bring illusions is to, you know, be rooting ourselves more deeply in the dream, choosing the ego thought system again, you know, staying within that box of illusions. He has looked on them and found them wanting. So Jesus is saying he has looked on them with Jesus, Holy Spirit, and seen that they bring, you know, that they're only bringing me pain. Now he seeks to go beyond them, recognizing that another dream would offer nothing more than all the others. Dreams are one to him. So dreams are all the same. I begin to see that over time with practice that there's no hierarchy of illusions. And he has learned their only difference, the dream's only difference is one of form, for one will bring the same despair and misery as do the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
that's really great learning, right?
Yeah, which goes back to the previous sentence. He has looked on them and found them wanting. And, you
right.
know, yeah, once again, what a dynamic paragraph this is, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. that's it. And, you know, I really resonate to this, too, because I probably told you I bought a home that really needed a lot of work.
Yes.
It had been owned by an older couple. One of them had Alzheimer's, and, you know, it just had not been taken care of. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I like to do, I guess, is kind of come in and take care of a home, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
But there are so many times I'm getting estimates for this and estimates for that. And in my mind, I'm like, yes, well, if you pay top dollar and you get this great estimate, you got this taken care of. And then I look at the guarantee or the warranty and it's like, oh, yeah, this will last 5 to 7 years.
Right.
And I'm like, what? So that sentence, he has looked on them and found them wanting. It's like, CA, you are never going to find permanence. You're not going to find that Shangri-La, so to speak, within the illusion. You're just not going to find it.
Well, and we all, I think we're very alike in some ways, CA, because I loved getting things done, you know, I like getting them done and then I won't have to worry about them. I'm always saying that to, you know, like, well, once I get this done, then it'll be calm around here. And that, you know, and it's such a lie. Like,
it is.
It's a very long time. And why do I still think that there won't be another problem immediately, you know, probably before I even finish whatever I'm getting done? That you have to confront again, right? And again,
yes.
As you're saying, in a few years, you have to confront the same one, you know, that you just fixed. So
right, and that's exactly it. And there is a part of me that goes, no, you know, I can do this, and, you know, I'm getting older, so if I just get this done now, I don't ever have to think of it again. And then they're going 5 to 7 years.
That's
not fair. You know, why can't these things be permanent, you know?
Right. Things are falling apart here. That's all they do, you know?
Right.
And it reflects our idea that you know, heaven shattered. So,
So, yeah, when we really look upon these dreams, we find them wanting. And they're all the same, really.
Right.
The only difference is form.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. Isn't that a comforting thought?
It is. Should we read the next paragraph?
Yes.
That's
yes.
a confusing one, too, if you don't put it in the greater context of the Course's metaphysics.
Okay.
Do you want to read it? Or?
Sure. The mind which means that all it wants is peace must join with other minds, for that is how peace is obtained. And when the wish for peace is genuine, the means for finding it is given. In a form, each mind that seeks for it in honesty can understand. Whatever form the lesson takes is planned for him in such a way that he cannot mistake it if his asking is sincere. But if he asks without sincerity, there is no form in which a lesson will meet with acceptance and be truly learned. And yes, you're right. This is one of those things where people want to start talking about God's will for me and the lessons God is sending to me.
Right.
And yes.
And in the greater, you know, context of the Course, God doesn't know anything about this. The lessons are simply whatever, you know, from the Course's perspective, whatever my curriculum is, whatever, you know, part of all the possible scenarios of separation that the decision-making mind dreamed up. is reviewing at any given time, you know, what I call my life, that's really what it is.
Right.
And that those are my lessons, and if I give them the purpose of forgiveness and healing, you know, as opposed to the purpose of rooting me more deeply in the dream.
Mm-hmm.
And also when he says, you know, that all it, the mind which means that all it wants is peace must join with other minds, for that is how peace is obtained. Well, of course, again, we were saying earlier, it's not about joining with other bodies. There really are no other bodies. My body is just as unreal as every other body. But at the level of the mind, to join means to include all parts of the decision-making mind in it.
Yes.
You know, to recognize our same need to find our way home. Every dreamer's same need to find their way home. To recognize our sameness beyond the form of the way we act the ego thought system out when we're afraid, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and our same, you know, the same love within us, that, you know, that the peace of God that is waiting for us within us, that loving presence in the mind that you know, only embraces our shared innocence and
yes.
that light for us.
Well, and it is comforting to think, not so much that God has a plan, but that we are going to be able to understand on a level that we can understand.
Right.
That we will get it. And in fact, I want to jump down. I realize it's getting a little late. Mm-hmm. I want to jump down. I don't know what paragraph it is, but it starts today. Devote your practice periods to careful searching of your mind.
Paragraph 8, yes. Yep.
But is it paragraph 8?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but it's the last few sentences that I think are so important. It's, let not some dreams be more acceptable, reserving shame and secrecy for others. They are one. And being one, one question should be asked of all of them. Is this what I would have in place of heaven and the peace of God?
Right.
And see, those are the kinds of things that I really so am attracted to in the Course. We want to make everything so complicated.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I want to make everything right. so complicated. When in truth it says, when you're looking at these dreams, one question should be asked, is this what you would have in place of heaven in the peace of God?
Right.
That's all you have right. to ask yourself. Is this yep. what you really want?
Right. How's it working out for you?
How's it working out for you? That's right.
You know, I'm going to read just the next couple, I think we should read the next two paragraphs.
And okay, that might be sure. Good. Go for it.
So he says, this is the choice you make. And again, he's talking to us as parts of that decision-making mind. Be not deceived that it is otherwise. There are no other real choices. No compromise is possible in this. You choose God's peace. Where you have asked for dreams, you have asked for unreal dreams, and dreams will come as you requested them. Yet will God's peace come just as certainly and to remain with you forever? It will not be gone with every twist and turning of the road, to reappear unrecognized in forms which shift and change with every step you take.
Yep, do you want me to go on to the next
one?
Just,
don't justify it, right? Be honest yep. about this. This is the choice that you're making.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, read the next one?
Yeah, you want the peace of God, and so do all who seem to seek for dreams. For them, as well as for yourself, you ask but this. And when you make this request with deep sincerity, for thus you reach to what they really want, and join your own intent with what they seek above all things, perhaps unknown to them, but sure to you. You have been weak at times, uncertain in your purpose, and unsure of what you wanted, where to look for it, and where to turn for help in the attempt. Help has been given you, and would you not avail yourself of it by sharing it?
Yeah. Well, I'll read the last one because it's very reassuring.
Okay,
it's
all right.
Short too. No one who truly seeks the peace of God can fail to find it. For he merely asks that he deceive himself no longer by denying to himself what is God's will. Who can remain unsatisfied who asks for what he has already? Who could be unanswered who requests an answer which is his to give? The peace of God is yours.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very nice.
Very, very nice if we would just choose it.
Yes, yeah. What's wrong with us? All right. Well, Susan, thank you for the suggestion of Lesson 185 from the workbook.
Thank you, too.
And thanks for the discussion. And do you have any announcements that you'd like to make before we close the show today?
No, I don't really. There's many things I have many curriculums going on right now, but nothing really about the course to announce, except as always a plug for the Foundation for A Course in Miracles and their wonderful work. And Jeff is still teaching, and there's still, you know, there's so many free resources on there that you can avail yourself of. And as we said earlier, new material being published all the time, as if we, you know, along with the voluminous amount of material available in the bookstore. So.
Right. And that's facim.org. And
yes.
Also, Susan, anything new on your blog, on your website?
The most recent things are those two interviews with Jeff Siebert and with Rosemarie Lasasso that are still, that I think are really very, very pertinent. And when I'm going to say that what I said earlier, when things calm down, as if there, I might.
As if they will. Yes. Okay. Okay. Well, and everybody, you can find Susan's blog/website, forayesinforgiveness.com. That's FORAYS. So forayesinforgiveness.com. So you can find those interviews that she was talking about and other things and links to other websites. That's a great resource that you should have for yourself. So anything else, Susan?
That's it, I think. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, Susan, thank you so much for being here today. And if you could send me the name of that workshop that you thought was so good, that Academy class, I would like to know about that. I want to thank all the listeners for being here today and those who are participating in spirit in our study of A Course in Miracles. And I hope that you will stay tuned, because up next, there's more live radio here on 12radio.com, Kathleen Peterson and Friends. And of course, there's live radio Monday through Thursday on this channel. And when there's not live radio shows, you can find, well, actually, we play Encores all week long. You know, 24/7, you're going to find something on 12radio.com. And if you miss part of a show or you want to hear a show again, if you want to go back and pick up or, you know, listen to parts of Toy Story, which is a workshop that we had been listening to on the show, you can find those in the on-demand section of 12radio.com. So thanks for listening, and thanks to Susan for being here today. You have been listening to A Course in Miracles with C.A. Brooks and my guest Susan Dugan on 12 Radio, where we are changing the way we think about life and spirituality.